Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday. It's padded practice Thursday, and the Packers are doing pretty well on the injury front. Devontae Wyatt, once again, the only Packer who did not fully participate or in any way participate on Thursday in the padded practice. Dontavian Wicks, a limited participant. That is very promising. I know been some concern with that shoulder injury he suffered against the Cardinals, but he was out there, albeit limited. Promising, though. Promising that he's there, not having set any kind of setback, and practicing in pads. Good stuff. Very promising. Clearly, the Packers' defense has its work cut out for it against C.J. Stroud, one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. A full complement of offensive weapons. Actually, not even full, with Nico Collins still down, but plenty of talent on offer. As a side note, I cannot wait for Stephon Diggs and Jair Alexander to reacquaint themselves with each other. If Packers fans remember their tete-a-tete in the tunnel at Buffalo a couple years ago, hopefully get to watch that get rekindled on Sunday, but not in a way that allows Stephon Diggs to go off. But I know there's been a lot of talk this week in particular about the Packers defense and their ability or inability to keep this going when it comes to all of the takeaways. I've been asked a lot and talked a lot about the sustainability of taking the ball away at such a rate where, I mean, the Packers are the only team in the league who has multiple takeaways in all six games this year. And at some point, I understand the trepidation. I understand wondering if they can, quote, keep it up. But man, at some point, you are who you are. It's not like this is one or two games. This is six games in a row. Now, of course, I'm saying this today, and we'll come out there on Sunday and they won't have any takeaways and everyone will say, you jinxed it or whatever. And that's fine. I'll wear it. But at some point, this is who they are regarding taking the ball away. And it's not just Xavier McKinney, who's had his streak snapped on Sunday, but it's the way you see in Evan Williams punching at the ball. You see Carl Brooks getting this big mitt on the ball carrier on the screenplay. It's not just that it's emphasized, because of course it is, but of course also almost every other NFL city and NFL coaching staff is emphasizing going after the football, creating turnovers. But it's very clear, not only is this staff emphasizing it, but they are putting the guys in positions to get after the football. It's no mystery that Jair Alexander had his first ever pick six with this staff in this scheme. The vision-based defense in the secondary, eyes on the quarterback, it helps you not only track the ball, but get you in position to make a break on the ball. And yeah, sometimes break it up, but also in position to pick it off, as we've seen with McKinney so often this season. And don't forget, he had those, you know, consecutive games with the interceptions, but there's been more than a couple games, week one, week five, where he probably should have had two, if not three, total in those games. Good breaks on the ball. We saw a dropped pick six by Keyshawn Nixon in week one. There have been plenty of opportunities, even with all the turnovers they've created. They've still left stuff on the plate. That's what's so promising. That's what's so exciting. I get it. There are going to be weeks eventually where they don't create turnovers and they're going to have to get stops and they're going to have to force punts and hopefully three and outs and things like that. I understand the trepidation. Again, trust me, I understand it. But man, at some point, we got to acquiesce to the idea that this is a team where undoubtedly all week long, the Texans' offensive coaches are preaching ball security and talking about how they have to be careful and how they cannot put the ball in jeopardy. Bill Belichick, on his one of a billion podcast media things that he appears on this year, talked about how, you know, the people got to start being careful against Green Bay because it's clearly like blood in the water. There are a bunch of sharks out there, and they're going to take the football, and they're going to give this offense, led by Jordan Love, a ton of opportunities to run up the score. So, I understand how people are nervous about it. I've gotten a lot of messages this week, and a lot of chats and things like that asking about it. Man, at some point, like I said, you are who you are, and this team is all about the ball and is about taking it away and giving this offense lots and lots of opportunities. So fret not, Packers fans. They're going to keep taking the ball away, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Hello to everybody in the chat. Good to see everybody. You guys know what time it is. I got to give a shout-out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players. I've selected four for tonight's game. Pick more or less on their projected stats and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. You can join in the fun at the link in the description of this video. And I've had a couple folks reach out and ask about how do you play it? What does it look like? I can't believe I haven't shown you guys this. Take a look. Here you go. Here's the kind of layout. Now you see they have a ton of sports, but obviously I'm looking at the NFL. Big game tonight. You can search by team if you so desire. Lots of options with the Saints. The Broncos are their opponent going down there tonight into the Dome. You can look at all the different options when it comes to Broncos players, or you can search by player. Alvin Kamara, I mean, he's going to be a focal point. I know he's banged up, but clearly going to have options. Look at all these different stats that you can say more or less, and that's how easy it is. Look, you got tons of different stat types, receptions, receiving yards, all these different opportunities to say more or less. And now here's my lineup for tonight. I got Alvin Kamara because, like I said, I know he's banged up, but 0.5 rush and receiving TDs. So basically, if he gets in the end zone, that's a win, right? I mean, Kamara is averaging a league-high 22 touches per game. I get he's battling hip and hamstring injuries on a short week. They'll undoubtedly spell him at times. But, man, he is going to get the rock, and he's going to get in the end zone against the Broncos. And then you look at my Bo Nix selection. I know 26.5 yards sounds like a lot rushing yards-wise for a quarterback. But you know how it is with these young QBs. You drop back, first read is covered, you start running. And it's kind of played out that way for Nix this year. He's seventh among quarterbacks in rushing yards with 180 on the year. I think he takes to the ground throughout this game and probably puts up 40 yards rushing. As far as when he's throwing the ball, I'm not going to say a deep sleeper, but a little bit of a sleeper. Lucas Kroll ran 30 pass routes in last week's game, while Troutman and Atkins, his position mates, ran 4 and 6 respectively. I think Kroll's going to get involved in the offense, and I think he's going to get more than 10 yards. Give me Kroll for over 9.5. And then finally, Bud Means. Now we're talking deep sleepers here. Well, because he's going to be thrust into action due to all the injuries. I mean, poor Saints fans. You got Chris Olave. There's news, obviously this afternoon, putting another receiver on the shelf. They are down bad. So bad, in fact, that they've activated Equanimeous St. Brown from their practice squad. But I think Bud Means, coming off a really promising game, 8 targets that led to 5 receptions for 45 yards and a touchdown in last Sunday's loss to Tampa. I'll take that. I will absolutely take that. And I've heard from a lot of folks like, oh, it's not available here or there. It's available, people. 43 states and Washington, D.C. Most importantly, it's available in Wisconsin. People, download the app, use code CHTV, $5 gets you $50. Do it, folks. Come on board, have some fun, and then share your lineups with me. Let me know what you've picked either for tonight or for this weekend's games. I'm going to be doing this again for the Packers game on Sunday. Get on board, people. It's a ton of fun. Remember, code CHTV. Do it. We got a ton of super chats here. What's up, Craig Smith? How you doing, man? Goody searches for kickers like a drunk pawing through the Walmart DVD bin looking for a movie he hasn't already seen. Hey, I resemble that remark. Sometimes you're going to find that long forgotten movie that you've even forgot existed. But I feel you, man. That's a striking image to put in people's heads. Joey, what's going on, man? I want Lane Taylor back. You are undoubtedly referring to my tweet from the Packers YouTube chat. Man, someone talking about wanting Jason Spriggs back. I didn't know you could get CTE as a fan. I kid. Pack Daddy, how are you, man? Fun fact, TD passes in their first 22 regular season starts. Favre, 28. Rodgers, 38. Love, 46. Pretty good start. Yeah, Favre was throwing a lot of picks back in those first 22 regular season starts. But yeah, that's not too shabby from Jordan Love. Porkmaster, how are you, man? Stroud is great against pressure. Can our lack of pressure throw him off? We are getting takeaways without pressure, which is crazy to me. Porkmaster, I literally talked about this with Billy earlier this week on Carry the G Radio. It is uncanny how they are, I'm not going to say all the time, but a lot of the time, just rushing four, which is perilously close to never getting there. But the vision on the quarterback has seemingly helped them. Now, some of it has been forced fumbles. Some of it has been being opportunistic near and around the ball. They can't be 316. God loves those who run to the ball. They've been doing that. But yeah, it's crazy to think that even while they have not really affected the quarterback as much as you would like, that traditionally is what causes turnovers. If they ever start, sky's the limit, man. Sky is the limit. Ryan, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. I'm tired of seeing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, but I don't know if it would ever get tired of seeing Green Bay in the Super Bowl every year. I mean, of course not. The Packers, it's, you know, as Mike Holmgren said after the Super Bowl win in New Orleans, it means as much as it means to all 31 other teams, it means more to us. You know, it's the trophy's named after Vince Lombardi. They play in Green Bay. It is their trophy. They just got to go get another one. 100%. P-Darb, thanks for the super chat. Drove to Milwaukee last weekend to watch the Packers game with some family, but also bought 6 cases of something creamy and cold to bring back to Kentucky. Thanks for everything you do at Cheesehead TV. Well, thank you, sir, for the support. And you know what? I think I might have an inkling what you bought and brought back to Kentucky.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
It's Carry the G beer, the official beer of Cheesehead TV. Now I want to carry the G. Jocelyn, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. I think Green Bay has earned benefit of the doubt vetting character concerns. Hopeful McManus makes less than 50-yard field goals and extra points. Zach Cruz posted promising splits on his timeline. I did see that. And yes, he is a vet. He's done it all. The coordinators are actually probably still going on, but Bisaccia was just at the podium a little bit ago talking about how, you know, McManus has done it. Whatever it might be in the NFL when it comes to the kicking position, he has done it. You know, obviously they spent a lot of time in Denver, but even down in Jacksonville, in the heat, in the cold, whatever types of weather, whatever surfaces, this guy has kicked it, right? And yeah, I think, you know, I made a joke on Twitter last night, and I'll never do that again, you know, people, or 2 nights ago, about Anders Carlson's career field goal percentage. Which, you know, then people are like, well, the sample size, whatever. It's like, it's just, and of course Zabe got it because Zabe always gets it. But, you know, it's just the bill coming due. It's like, you drafted this kid, you gave him 1 year, and then you let him go. And then you go through hell with, you know, camp, Greg Joseph, etc. And then you bring in Narveson, and you live through all that hell. And then finally just go get a guy who, yeah, he's done it. He's a veteran. But career-wise, he's hitting the same amount field goal-wise as the guy you drafted and probably should have just kept and stuck with and developed. I get the extra point thing. I understand. Like I said, it's just, you know, sunk cost fallacy right there in action. Josh Sims, how are you, man? Do you think the Texans crank up the blitz against Jordan this week? Last year, I would have said no. This year, I think it's a possibility. What would give me pause in that regard, though, is they've got two of the best off the edge. And, you know, I think Zach Tom's going to be able to handle things, but I think Rashid Walker is in for maybe not a long day, but is in for a big test. If they're able to cause some havoc there with those two on the edge, and they've got talent all three levels, I don't think there's a need to do much, but Jordan this year has not been quite as crisp and sharp against the blitz and pressure as he was last season, especially that stretch in the kind of back half of the year. I think maybe he's playing his way into that. we've certainly seen him improve over the last couple weeks. But, you know, you watch that Minnesota game, Minnesota got him a couple times, got him good. And I think there's no doubt that teams will look at that, including the Texans. And maybe they have a wrinkle or two, things that they haven't put on film yet, just to try and test the young quarterback, because Jordan is still a young quarterback, you know. But I do think more often than not, they are going to try to get home with four. And I think they got the edges to do it. You're going to see guys being chipped. You're going to see tight ends kept in. What they can do to try and mitigate some of that on the Packers end, because I do think the Texans on the back end, especially as banged up as they are, Packers should be able to take advantage there. But it's going to be dependent on, to your point, keeping Jordan upright when they send pressure. Abdul, how are you, man? Hey, Aaron, how has Valentine looked? How has he looked sitting on the bench? I mean, I don't know. He didn't see the field last week. I thought he had looked pretty promising coming back from the injury. But then last week, Stokes got in there more than he did. So I don't know, man. Hard to say. Now, maybe he's dealing with after effects of the injury. I don't know. But hasn't been too promising here this last week plus. Complicated fella. How are you, man? Is the Vikings defense concept stolen from the famous NASCAR package from the pack back in the day? No. It's quite different. The NASCAR package, for people who don't remember, was basically getting all your pass rushers on the field together, especially the four-man front, and utilizing your pass rushing outside linebackers along the interior, getting other edges out there on the edge, and going to town. It's a lot. What the Vikings are doing is a whole hell of a lot more complicated. I would highly recommend you check out Cody Alexander's stuff over at matchquarters.com, his Substack. He is a former defensive coach. Coached at the college ranks. Now he's doing a ton of content around defensive football, both NFL and college. And it is so educational, so well done, so illuminating. He does a really good job of breaking down things like this. Like, what is the Vikings off our defense doing? He lays it out there as far as which concepts they're utilizing, who they're like taking it from, borrowing it from, what Flores' path to creating this defense is all about. He just did a post about this, I want to say 2 weeks ago, that was really informative. Highly recommend people check it out. PT Sports Frisco, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. The Raiders and Browns are in rebuild / tank mode. What would it take to get Max Crosby or Miles Garrett? Can you imagine? I don't know. I can imagine quite a bit. You'll get it. I better. You will. Name the movie. They're not trading either of those guys. I understand that we're all kind of beholden to fantasy football these days, but that's, you know, not how most NFL teams operate. Now, sometimes, occasionally. But I don't think Max Crosby or Miles Garrett are going to request a trade. Remember, Devontae requested a trade. As fun as it would be, man, as great as it would be to watch those guys in green and gold, I just don't see that happening anytime soon. Unfortunately. How we doing, folks? Joe Mixon. Nathan? Yeah, big test. Big test this week. And, like, here's the thing. Man, the Texans are good, right? Like, they're a good football team. They are exponentially better when Mixon is on the field. As you saw last week against the Patriots, they're just a different offense. And he's ripping off huge runs. And, obviously, he was a lot more than just that one highlight run. But it's not just his ability out of the backfield as a runner. In the passing game, he is a weapon as well. We've had, you know, some really good outputs here from the defense these last couple weeks, but this is a whole nother ball of wax where you're having to deal with Stephon Diggs. You're having to deal with Tank Dell. Their tight end gets involved a little bit as well. And then here comes, and look, and it's not even just Mixon. They just got two of their running backs back from injury. It is loaded, man. It's a problem. It is a problem. Are the Mariners going to trade a pitcher for some offense? The Or King, I wish I could help you out there. That is out of my wheelhouse, and I know you're kidding. There you go. Vin V. Vin V wins it. Star Wars, A New Hope. Yes, correct. Colin, who's your reasonable trade crush for defensive line? I have no trade crushes. I barely have draft crushes. Man, look. Remember when everyone was talking about the backup quarterbacks this summer and everyone was saying, well, they got to go get somebody. They got to do something. And the 90% of my mentions and emails and, you know, comments on Insta or whatever were, they got to go get Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill this, Ryan Tannehill that. And I just kept saying, I don't see that. He's done. Like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. No one had them trading for Malik Willis. And if you say you did, you're a liar. But that's the type of move the Packers would make if they were to make one. I'm not saying they're going to. But, you know, when the Bills or the Jets are making trades for guys that we've heard of, big star names, etc., that's what those teams do. The Packers go, and if they were to trade, they'll trade for somebody we have not even thought about. So I don't waste my time trying to dream up trade scenarios that are never going to happen. I know that's very popular online, Twitter especially. I see it thrown out all the time, especially the closer you get to the trade deadline. Man, life's too short. I ain't wasting my energy on that. And now if they end up doing it, awesome. I'll welcome whoever it is with open arms as a member of the Green Bay Packers. But right now I'm rooting for this team and these guys. That's just me. Andrew Ware, what's up, man? Don't question my original trilogy knowledge, Nags. I would never presume to question your original trilogy knowledge. Absolutely not. Gaming, just like the Brewers. Yeah, you're not wrong. But, you know, they're kind of constrained financially. It's a little different. Nags, what is it like to be able to spend your day looking at all the football chat, etc., every day? Bumpa, I ain't going to lie. There are some days it's great. There are some days it's absolute hell. But all of it beats anything I used to do for a living. So I'll take it. Pete, were you surprised Marshawn Lloyd wasn't ready to practice this week? He was a surprise IR to begin with based on his comments after the Colts game. Well, Pete, you got to remember, man, never pay attention to what players say about their injuries. They're not the ones making the call. The med team is. And am I surprised? No, because we're not privy to any of the medical information. You know, so I know this was the first week he would have been, you know, eligible to get back on the practice field, but we have no clue where his rehab is, what part of the process he's in, you know? So if and when it happens, great. But in the meantime, man, they're balling out with the two guys that they got in the backfield, and hell, three. They got Brooks out there looking outstanding in that kind of end of the game against the Cardinals. So yeah, if Lloyd can get back in the next couple weeks, awesome. If we don't see him until December, I'm fine with him playing the James Starks role as they get to the Super Bowl with a guy off IR at the end of the year. I am down with that. Orlando, I've seen them stealing your Romeo saying on the national levels. It's not that original. You know, I mean, I love it. I have a ball saying it every time he's in the end zone, but it ain't like, you know what I mean? Like, I went to the depths of my soul to come up with something insanely original with that saying. So, you know, it feels pretty obvious. It's fine. I love that people say it. Even when the theater nerds come after me with, you understand. I had someone on the radio on Tuesday call in, literally, I think it was Tom from Oshkosh, called in to say, I'm making fun of him a little bit. And he was very nice. He was very complimentary, so I shouldn't make fun of him. But every time I hear it, I just hear in my head, you know what she's saying there? She's not asking where he is. She's asking, why was he born a Montague? I get it. I know. It's just a fun thing to say. Kyle Copeland, how are you, man? Thanks for checking out the stream on Twitter. Do you see the Packers making a move for a D tackle if Wyatt remains out much longer? No, I do not. I think Carl Brooks is playing really well. I think Wooden has been banged up too, so maybe if the numbers get bad, possibly they make a move there. But I doubt it. They didn't put Wyatt on IR, so that would suggest that they think he's going to be back inside of 4 weeks or at 4 weeks. So, yeah, no. I would tend to doubt it, but we'll see. Let me see what we got here. Reed led interceptions. Watson led in yards. Dobbs led in TDs. Who needs a wide receiver one? I'm so glad you asked that. Let's just remember something.
I get like, I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. That's something that you guys talk about. I feel like we got a bunch of them.
Matt, that's a wise man right there, Matt LaFleur. Who needs a number one? Just ball out, kids. Have a great time. Can't wait. All right, buddy, I gotta get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.